This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. About a half hour from now, Ryan Gerdusky is going to break down that 2024 election. Are you curious how men voted? Women voted? Young, old, black, white, Asian, Hispanic? I bet you are. I thought it was so fascinating. Ryan is going to break all that down for us about a half hour from now. We're going to trash the media, talk about how they look at things really quickly. We'll do some emails and so much more coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show. So we were discussing the media and how they view themselves as warriors for the cause first. And CNN is scrambling today trying to defend themselves from the outright lie they told. Jake Tapper's one of their best at doing this. He went out and said this.
Asking questions is literally our job. Demanding facts and answers instead of just taking a president's word for it.
Mm-hmm. That's funny because I remember this.
We have some breaking news now. CNN has learned new information about that ongoing investigation into those allegations raised in a collection of memos created by a former British intelligence agent at the time he made the memos for political opponents of then candidate Donald Trump. Jim Sciutto and Evan Perez have been working the story. And Jim, let's start with you. What precisely have investigators learned?
Well, Jake, for the first time, U.S. investigators say that they have corroborated some of the communications detailed in a 35-page dossier compiled by a former British intelligence agent.
Dossier turned out to be all lies. We know that now. Where were the questions then? Why just sit there and take all that? Why? Okay, pause on that for a minute. Here's Jake Tapper on Joe Biden's decline. Well, this is him recently when he's trying to sell books about it.
And then he said, and this is one of my favorite quotes ever, to see what is in front of one's nose needs a constant struggle. And that's the lesson for me. We all saw it happening, and we all refused to see it. And maybe some of your exceptions, but as a general note.
Why? Why did they refuse to see it? Just like we have discussed before, I'll use this analogy again because it is so, so appropriate. If I am discussing my child, my kid, James. James went out last night. He didn't do this, by the way. James went out last night and smoked weed and then threw rocks at the school's window and broke a window. Him and a buddy did this. If I'm describing that to you, to one of my friends, to my mom. How am I going to describe James? I'm so mad at James. He's got this friend. His friend's a real bad seed. Kid's a bad kid. And you know how innocent James is, but he can get talked into stuff, and I'm mad at him. I've grounded him for the whole thing, and he's got James. Let James try drugs, which, of course, was the first time. Don't worry, he's never going to do it again, and he vandalized something, broke the law, and we're going to make him pay for it. I'm just glad he's learning his lesson now. How am I going to describe the other kid? That juvenile delinquent. Might as well throw that animal in a cage for the rest of his life. That's how the American media covers Republicans versus Democrats, and for the exact same reason. They view, because they're communist revolutionaries wearing journalist badges, they view their responsibility not as reporting, not as delivering facts, not as speaking truth to power, not as informing the American people. The American media views their role as protecting the communist revolution and stopping the opponents of the communist revolution. So when Joe Biden is stumbling and drooling on himself and pooping himself in front of the Pope, and he's falling over on his bike, and he's tripping on stage, and he can't complete a sentence, and he's doing all these things that make it perfectly obvious to you and me, well, for the American media, that's their baby.
And then he said, and this is one of my favorite quotes ever, to see what is in front of one's nose needs a constant struggle. And that's the lesson for me. We all saw it happening, and we all refused to see it. And maybe some of your exceptions, but
they refused to see it for the exact same reason in my little made-up story. I presented James in the most flowery terms to my mother when I reported on her. They refused to see it because they're fighting for his team on his side. Not biased, on their side. Not biased, the enemy. And speaking of Joe Biden drooling on himself, Donald Trump has called the auto pen one of the great scandals in American history, and I don't think that he's wrong. The auto pen being this: Joe Biden had all these executive orders, crazy ones, ones that even Democrats would struggle to explain themselves on. Thankfully, we don't have a media that would ever ask them about it, but just insane stuff that just looked like, wait a minute, this is straight out of an America hating communist playbook. What crazy executive orders? An insane number of pardons for the most despicable people. And again, I know every president, Republican and Democrat, they all pardon criminals, and I've always thought it was disgusting. By the way, just, I think it's gross when Republicans do it too. I think George Bush, when he did it, it was gross. When Biden did it, it was gross. When Obama did it, it was gross. I think when Trump does it, it's gross. They all do it. I know that. But then comes Joe Biden, and he does thousands more than anyone else. Just crazy stuff. But what if it wasn't Joe Biden? Pardon after pardon, executive order after executive order. What if it wasn't the duly elected president of the United States of America? What if it was other people? And look, I say what if, we know it was other people. Joe Biden, as much of a scumbag as he's always been selfish, always been a jerk, always used his political office to enrich his family. Joe Biden's not been a committed communist. It's a politician, an opportunist, seeking money and power. It's a politician. But these executive orders, these pardons, these actions almost seem like they were done by evil Maoists, because they were. Because to rise inside the Democrat Party today, to go from an intern to a chief of staff to a communications to rise in Democrat circles today, you almost undoubtedly start out as an America-hating, committed communist. And the people inside Joe Biden's White House were genuine America haters who have tried for years to put this country to the torch. Finally, because we had a cadaver as a president, they were presented with the keys to Dad's Mercedes. They were presented with an opportunity to essentially run the United States of America anonymously. It's a communist dream. We have this Joe Biden, this drooling idiot figurehead out there. But Joe Biden doesn't need to know if we want to ban natural gas exports from Louisiana just to smash that industry. why wouldn't we do that? Even if it becomes controversial, even if it becomes a national scandal, Joe Biden's going to take all the heat. Essentially, it was a communist stream. And remember, Joe Biden's White House was simply packed full of Obama's people. And remember who Barack Obama was. Barack Obama was taught from his youth to hate the United States of America. His pastor taught him that. Frank Marshall Davis taught him that. Barack Obama is a dyed-in-the-wool hater of the United States of America and surrounded himself with those types. Lisa Monaco. We've discussed at length these people. Anita Dunn, at length these people have been discussed. Their background is horrific. Their whole career is horrific. And all of a sudden, they didn't have to play the part of staffer as or advisor anymore. They got to not only be the president, they got to be the president anonymously. Headline from the Populist Times, ex-Biden official Neera Tanden admits to using AutoPen without knowing who approved it. She had to testify behind closed doors to Congress. Congress is dragging these people in front of them and forcing them to give testimony under oath. And she said, quote, stating she was permitted to oversee AutoPen signatures, but did not know who in the president's circle provided final approval. These vicious little monsters ran the United States of America for 4 years with unchecked anonymous power, and they did as much damage as they could possibly do. I don't know that Donald Trump is wrong when he says this is the scandal of the century. All right, let's do some emails. Before we do the emails, let's save a baby's life. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the young lady right now as you're listening to the sound of my voice. She just found out she's pregnant. And all the influences in her life, maybe her boyfriend, maybe her parents, her friends, they're all telling her some version of, well, just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Maybe even her own selfish desires, that happens a lot, are telling her, well, I mean, this is going to cost you your career. Don't you want to go to college? You don't want to, just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. And she can. She knows that. The abortion pill is available everywhere now. She can. That baby, if that mother makes that decision, has almost no chance at survival. The best chance that baby has is you in preborn. Preborn gives that woman a free ultrasound. A free ultrasound. When she hears the heartbeat, can't get rid of that now, can you? Because your mom. $28 buys the ultrasound. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Do not forget tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ryan Gerdusky's coming up 10 minutes from now. Jesse, as a New York native, seeing what the city has become over the last 5-6 years is infuriating. The openly radical socialist Muslim they're electing as the next mayor is the cherry on top. As these cities plunge deeper into the communist abyss, do you think at some point in the future we need to physically retake them to restore normalcy? Similar to what happened in LA recently, but taking it a step further to actually remove politicians. I guess at that point we're talking civil war. Probably a popular idea with my fellow listeners of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show, but I doubt Norm would support it. Okay, interesting question. Do we need to just go in and arrest these people? Remove them from office? All right, well, let's talk about that. You see, these people, I guess it depends on how we view them and how we view the country. The country itself is a constitutional republic or a representative republic, not a democracy, keep in mind, but a republic. We elect representatives. That's how the country is built. And so the country is an accurate reflection, as we've discussed this week, an accurate reflection of us, especially in specific areas. You may not like Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom accurately reflects the people who live in California. I know it's not universal. I know how many blood-red anti-communists there are in California, but that's not how it works. You don't get to pick by yourself who represents you. The people themselves do. Gavin Newsom is an accurate representative. Ilhan Omar is an accurate representative. Jasmine Crockett, AOC, picked with a Pelosi. Pick the politician you hate the most. You may hate them, but they are accurate representatives. Now, I'm not going to go off on what I went off last night about how we have to get to the root of the problem. We have to change America's university system. We really have to change our immigration system. We already covered all that last night, so I'm not going to cover it again right now. But I will say this, because this part is unavoidable. For now, for right now, the unchecked communists are contained in specific areas, in specific institutions. For now, California's communism doesn't mean it's coming to Mississippi. For now, if New York City elects this filthy communist, you may not like it. And yes, it does hurt the country in ways, but it doesn't come for you in Lubbock, Texas, for now. We have to keep our eyes on it, because remember, the communist is never, ever, ever satisfied with half conquest, partial conquest, even 99% conquest. He is a religious zealot, and it is a religion of destruction and domination and conquest. If the communist fights a war for 100 islands, and at the end of the war, he's won 99 of the 100 islands, he will not consider that war an unbelievable success. He will consider it a failure until he takes the last island. Communism is all based on forcing everybody to succumb to it. Everyone. Even the mayor of New York, or I shouldn't say the mayor. Please, God, don't let that happen. But the possible mayor of New York, even he's trying to already take steps, if you will, to ensure you cannot escape him.
I've proposed is that we raise $10 billion to pay for our entire economic agenda and start to Trump-proof our city, because we know he'll use federal funding as leverage over this city. And we will do so in two key ways. The first is to match the state's top corporate tax rate to that of New Jersey. We are at 7.25%. They're at 11.5%. Corporations can pay it over there. They can pay it over here. And the beauty of it is that it doesn't just apply to corporations headquartered in New York City. Because when you say this, people will say, well, they're going to go to Florida. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are headquartered, as long as you do business in the state of New York, you are taxable for that corporate tax. We're talking about corporations that are making.
Oh, no. You don't get to escape my taxes. Now, don't get me wrong. I think this would be shot down by the Supreme Court, but it shows you how they think. You don't get to escape my policies. You will succumb to them. Don't think that you're going to run off to California, to Utah, to North Dakota, and try to escape my taxes. No. I will find you, and I will force you to live under them. So, look, is it time to start arresting these people? I'm not saying that. Is it time for civil war? Absolutely not. We should all pray that day never, ever comes. But we do have to acknowledge these people are contained for now, and they may not always be. We can keep them contained, defeat them, leave them kind of isolated and frozen if we fight hard and work hard and win local elections. If we get laissez-faire about it, they will take everything. All right. Let's talk to Ryan Gerdusky next about the Democrat Party, mainly the 2024 election. How did the different demographics go? Men, women, black, white, young, old. You're going to find this fascinating, trust me. And I know that you'll be able to retain the information because your mind is working well, and your mind is working well because you've been taking your chalk every day, right? your natural herbal supplements from Jock. I've told you I'm over 3 years. I think I should actually look. I might be 4 years into a male vitality stack from Jock. You know I hate pills. Medicine, I don't trust that stuff. I don't like it. I don't want it in my body. I'm always looking for natural solutions. Chalk has been a godsend for me. My show is better. My family life is better. Everything in my life is better since I've started a male vitality stack from Chalk because I have energy. My mood is better. My mind is clear. The best way I can describe it is the longer you take it, it feels like a fog is lifting from your mind. That's the best way I can describe it. You want to feel that? Take it for 90 days. Get a subscription for 90 days and tell me how you feel. Call them. Text them. The Dimes are standing by the phone. 50-CHOQ-3000. 50-CHOQ-3000. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday, smiling from ear to ear, and not just because tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday for you to email your questions into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, it's time to put on your nerd hat. I'm going to put on my nerd hat. It says Chris on it. And we're going to bring in my buddy Ryan Gerdusky, who actually hosts a really, really cool podcast right here on iHeart called A Numbers Game. If you nerd out on this stuff, I would highly recommend it. Ryan, Pew Research came out with this big report on the 2024 election, and you've been geeking out on it all day long. I'm officially handing my show to you. What did we learn?
Oh, I'm so excited about this because it is considered the gold standard of post-election analysis of how people turned out. They spend months and months and months doing dives into not only just exit polls, but actual voter history and results in precincts and counties. So take some big things. First of all, compared to 2016 to 2024, Trump's coalition was close to 90% white voters in 2016. It was now less than 80%. Now, that's not only because it's changing demographics, but it's because Trump nearly doubled his support among Latinos and tripled his support among Black voters as well as Asian voters. That's a very, very good thing. Trump also won more support from former Biden voters than Kamala did from former Trump voters. He also won more people who chose to sit out of the 2024 election. Now, for as much as the media sat there screaming endlessly about how women were going to save this country from fascism, it was women and the abortion issue that was going to sit there and do everything. Pew Research found that white women and Latino women moved more towards Trump than white men and Latino men. It was only outlier was Black women, which surprise, surprise. But it was Latino women moved 13 points more towards Trump from 2020 than they did. So Latino women in 2020 voted 33% for Donald Trump. and 65% for Joe Biden. Come to 2024, it was 52-46. It was only a 6-point margin. For white women in America, who the media sits there and spends tons of time hating, Trump only won 47% of white women against Hillary in 2016. He won 51-47. He won a 4-point margin against Kamala in 2024. Let's talk about coalitions that have changed significantly. I'm a millennial. I know everyone hates us. In 2008, we were the base that created the Obama coalition. Those who are now millennials are around middle age. They're between the age of late 29 to 40. Among voters between the ages of 30 to 49, which is heavy, heavy, you know, centric of millennials, they voted for Biden for Hillary by an 11-point margin. Actually, back then it was a 30-point margin. They were younger then. So among the youngest voters in 18 to 29, 10 years ago, they gave Hillary a 30-point win. Those voters now have aged to the next age category, 30 to 49-year-olds. They voted for Kamala by a 2-point margin. Among Gen Zers, who were not obviously voting in 2016, they only voted for Kamala by a 19-point margin. The most Republican demographic were Gen Xers. Gen Xers between the ages of 50 to 64 gave Trump a 14-point margin. Trump won every category of men, including men under the age of 49, and he obviously won men over the age of 50. Kamala barely scraped by a 1-point victory, the same margin Hillary did among women over the age of 50. But get this, women under the age of 50 gave Hillary a 36-point margin. Remember the women who were supposed to care only about abortion? They voted for Kamala by a 14-point margin, significantly less. They didn't care about abortion. It didn't motivate them at all. A lot of it was the economy and crime and other motivating factors. Let's talk about immigration for a second, an issue I care about, an issue you care about. Immigrants in this country have been the backbone of the Democratic Party. In 2020, Joe Biden won the immigrant vote by 21 points and the American Americans by birth by 3 points, right? People born in America always vote more right-wing than immigrants do. In 2024, Trump won people born in America by 2 points, but get this, lost immigrants only by 4 points. Which is remarkable. So who were these immigrants who all of a sudden switched their vote from Democrat to Republican? The number one group, a 31-point shift, were European, Australian, Canadian white immigrants. White immigrants went for Biden by 15 points and for Trump by 16 points. Hispanic immigrants, Trump also won them, shockingly enough. Hispanic immigrants went from a 19-point margin for Biden to a 3-point margin for Trump. And there was a 25-point shift among Asian immigrants from 30 points for Biden to 5 points for Kamala. These are tremendous shifts. Now, whether they are blips in the system and they will shift back, who knows? There's certainly 15% of people who voted for Joe Biden in 2020 did not come out and vote this time, so they can bring people back into their coalition. But these are big warning signs by infrequent voters, new voters, and a new coalition that isn't you know, backing the Obama parties of the past.
Speaking with Ryan Gruduski, breaking down some 2024 election stuff. Okay, Ryan, help me understand here. I obviously, like you said, we don't know whether this was a blip on the radar or not, but listening to all those numbers, all those demographics, it sounds like, with the exception of black women, and I'm assuming young single women, because those are always the worst communists in the country, it sounds like Democrats are losing every part of their coalition, sometimes by a lot, sometimes by a little. But did I read that wrong? It sounds like they're losing every single part of it.
Yeah, I mean, basically, now, to lesser degrees, right? Black men still voted for Kamala Harris, 75-21, a 54-point margin. But go back 4 years, and they had that margin was 75 points. That's a tremendous swing. Black women, they voted 70 by a 79-point margin for Kamala Harris, but they voted for a 90-point margin for Joe Biden. Their coalition shrank on every single metric. The only part that they were flat with, actually, and made a little bit gain, ironically, was white men. Maybe white men got bullied enough into sitting there and saying, hey, maybe we should give this woman a chance. But aside from white men, They lost ground with every single Democrat and older voters. And I want to explain older voters because this drives me up the wall. Everyone sits there and says, how are these 75-year-olds, 80-year-olds changing? When you think of older voters, you're probably thinking of someone who was old when you were young. And in most cases, those people are probably dead now, or they've gone to their eternal rest, or they're no longer voting because they're a senior citizen home and, you know, not wishing well anybody, but that's what happens, right? The old people in the movie The Little Giants when I was a kid were all World War II veterans. They're all dead now. Who is an older voter now? Archie Bunker is dead. It's Meathead. The demographics have changed over time because, you know, the world changes. So the people who were, you know, middle-aged 10 years ago and now are senior citizens are the very far progressives who were out there protesting the Vietnam War. And that's who an 80-year-old is in our country. So it only makes sense that senior citizens have swung to the left. Now, as when Gen Xers get that age in 10, 15 years from now, they will swing to the right again because Gen Xers will take their politics with them.
If I'm a Democrat and I'm listening to this little segment, Ryan, and I'll let you go. I've only got about a minute or so. But if I'm a Democrat and I'm listening to this segment, I'm terrified. Should I be?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the people left within the party, the ones who, and look at the New York City election, the ones who are still voting in these primaries, they have 36 genders. They have 9 hair colors. They don't know what attachment they want, and, you know, in their private regions. It is the most crazy elements of the party, and they are turning off working class people. I'll give you one more piece of data that will shock you. In 3 of New York's 5 boroughs, Queens, the Bronx, and Staten Island, Republicans registered more new voters in the last year than Democrats did. Where did these new Democrats come? Although Democrats raised more people in New York City, it was just Manhattan and the crazy part of Brooklyn. And that's the future of the party. The working class voters who sound like normal people are just not having it anymore.
Wow. That was awesome. His podcast, again, it's free, A Numbers Game. You can find it on iHeart. Ryan Gerdusky, thank you, my brother. As always, that's exactly what I wanted. I appreciate it. They're losing all their coalition. Look, I'm going to say something, but you already know I'm a jerk, so I understand this will be offensive to some people, but if you have a bunch of different voting coalitions, and the only one that's in your favor are the people who are close to death, older, that are close to death, that is catastrophic as a party. Catastrophic. And you can bet the Democrat Party is breaking this down because it was a big Pew Research thing. I know Ryan broke it all down in a Substack if you want to go read his take on it, but yikes. That was great news, though, isn't it? I told you I was in a great mood today. Anyway, you want to learn about some history? Do you want to learn about capitalism? Let's talk about Hillsdale College really quickly and what I appreciate so much. Hillsdale College doesn't have to give anything away for free. Did you know that? There is a line. Last time I talked to the Hillsdale people, there's a line to get in, obviously. People don't want their child's minds destroyed by a communist university, so they try to get their kids into Hillsdale. There's a line around the block, if you will, to get in. They don't have to give anything away and charge whatever they want, and yet they offer more than 40 courses online free at no charge. And it doesn't matter what you're into. You're into economics? Take the capitalism course. History? Go learn about Athens, the Roman Empire. Yep. Whatever you're looking for, they'll hand you knowledge at no cost. When you go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse, you get wisdom free. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Jewish producer Chris bringing us back with some Black Sabbath there. Always appreciate that. Remember, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you can email your questions into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Trump came out today. I'm not going to play it for you, but gave a speech about deportations and how we have a goal. He wants to set a goal of 1 million deportations a year and all that, and I got this email. Hey, Jesse, I think president should make it very clear to illegal immigrants they cannot stay in America. All benefits collected by illegals should be cut off immediately, so on and so. Okay, so I actually want to piggyback off of what we were talking about before, Ryan. Let's talk about this as it pertains to illegal immigration. And in case you don't remember, before Ryan Gerdusky, who just left us, before him, we were discussing how communists, as of right now, are isolated into pockets of America. Now, some of these pockets are big pockets. They're cargo pants pockets. You know, California is a big pocket. But as of right now, they haven't been able to conquer every part of this country. And to hear Ryan talk about the current state of the Democrat Party, their coalition is shriveling, shrinking up. That's a good thing. But we do have to acknowledge that they have conquered pockets. They have. There are parts of the United States of America that are not free countries. That's just a fact. They're not free, good countries. I remember, I live in Texas, the Houston area, and I'm in a blood red part of Texas. And during COVID, I don't want to act like my area was perfect because it most definitely was not. But it was pretty laid back. You know, mask requirements existed here and there, but for the most part, not really. Yeah, they put the stupid footprints on the ground, but a lot of people didn't agree with it. Almost immediately after the lockdown started, we were having big blowout neighborhood parties, big crawfish boils with bouncy houses for the kids and stuff. Like, we just didn't operate as if COVID was a big deal because it wasn't a big deal. And you know, because now I'm this gigantic celebrity. What, Chris? I'm this huge celebrity media star. All right, stop. Because of my job, I have to go to New York City a lot. Plus, I love New York City a lot. When I had to go to New York City during the COVID insanity, it was like I had been transported into a different country. If you had taken me from my neighborhood in Texas and blindfolded me, and I don't know, you had the magical powers to snap your fingers and put me there and not tell me where I am, it was like I was on a different planet. The areas the communists control in this country, they are going down fast. And they're going down fast without breaks. This is what I've tried to explain before when I try to encourage you to get out of your blue area, even if you love it, if you can. I know a lot of people can't. But there used to be, for most of my life, there were limits. There were guardrails on Democrats. They would guardrail themselves. There have always been communists in the Democrat Party. That's a given, but they were never allowed free rein because other Democrats who didn't go that far left or didn't honestly hate the country or for a variety of reasons, there were other Democrats that would yank the reins back and say, well, okay, hold on. We're not going to amnesty 20 million people. Hold on, slow down. We're not going to. That's a good point, Chris. Nancy Pelosi is a great example of this. You know, Nancy Pelosi held off the impeachment of Donald Trump for 2 years. That's an example of what Democrats used to be. Hold on. Slow down, AOC. We're not just going to impeach. There used to be guardrails. There used to be some sort of a brake system. Over the years, they have purged and or silenced the last of the moderate voices in the party. And so now when you have an area like New York City, it's a great example. When you have an area that is under complete communist control from top to bottom, governor, mayor, city council, everything, there are no more breaks. No more breaks at all. They're not holding back.
Some have projected, that this is the type of platform that would work in other parts of the country. I mean, you're a proud democratic socialist. Do you think that is a platform that would work for other candidates running in other parts of the country?
Absolutely. I think ultimately.
How this applies to immigration? Why is Donald Trump giving speeches today talking about, well, we will hope to deport 1 million a year? There are parts of this country where illegals are safe. It's easy for you or me to say, well, just cut off all the benefits. Okay, tell that to California. California gives them driver's licenses. Tell that to Minnesota. They're giving them in-state tuition. There are parts of America that aren't really America anymore. And that hurts. We don't want that to be the case, but let's not operate as if we have operational control of every square inch of this country. We control a lot of it, the vast majority of the land, and I get all that, but we do not have enough operational control to set immigration policy for the entire country because there are blue areas without brakes. There are no more brakes. There's nobody in the Democrat Party in New York that's going to step up and say, you know what, maybe no more illegals. It's just, it doesn't exist. Eric Adams started to say that. He had to leave the party. He's running as an independent. All right, let's talk about the media. Media concerned about the gender of the pilots who flew the mission? Huh. Before we talk about that, let me read you this little tidbit here. Jesse, actually, he said, dear baby cheetah puff hands. It's not very nice. I've been a Pure Talk customer for the past year. Since they're giving away 1,000 American flags to veterans, I nominated my friend, and he loved it. Keep up the good work, Jarhead. You still have time to nominate a veteran in your life to receive a free American flag from Pure Talk, an Allegiance flag, the greatest American flags because they're made in America. Isn't that just better? Something doesn't feel right about an American flag made in China. Nominate a veteran in your life. It means so much to them. Just the appreciation of it. And while you're at it, switch to the cell phone company that does this kind of stuff. You ever seen Verizon do this? No. Save some money. Switch to Pure Talk. Keep your phone. Keep your number. PureTalk.com/nominate is where you nominate a veteran. And while you're at it, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly and make the switch. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.